Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Get out your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 5 this morning. I want to read 14 verses, and I know that's kind of lengthy, but I just want to get the whole story in this morning. Chapter 5, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. I've literally been there when I went to Israel to see where this was, and I've seen this. They thought about the five porches, but they've dug up and all these things are exactly like the Bible had listed them in this passage of Scripture. In these lay a great multitude, of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down in a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was well, or made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured? "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." They could care less about the miracle. Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you and praise you. Lord, we thank you for meeting us here at this service thus far, God, in the singing and the worship of you, Lord God, today. And Lord, we know at the same time, Lord, as the word is broken open today, Lord, that you are in the midst of this time. And Lord, we pray that you'll touch our hearts, God, stir our lives, God. Oh, Lord, may this bring healing and encouragement to those and to us that are here this morning. God, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in John chapter 5, verse 3, it says this, In these laid a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. This is a wonderful story, and I want to cover it a little bit this morning and just talk about it a little bit about what the Lord just shared with me yesterday as I was preparing. And one of the things I want to bring out first is in a multitude of people, there can be many different sicknesses. In a multitude of people, there can be many different sicknesses that can be among us. You know, there are the physically sick, those that literally are sick physically. It's a given when a so-called prophet will stand up and say, "Hey, I believe someone's got a back that's hurting. Or maybe a knee that's hurting." Can I say, even in this crowd this morning, I suspect somebody's not feeling well. You know, I suspect someone might have a leg that's hurting. And maybe someone has a back that's hurting. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying it's pretty easy to hit a crowd if you want to speak some things out there. Because literally, if I ask you, who all's feeling perfect this morning, would you raise your hand? Not even our young people are feeling perfect this morning. And I know what I felt like when I got out of bed. I thought, oh my word, I need some allergy medicine. I need this and that. My eyes looked like I had been out all night because of the allergies. And I thought, okay, we got to preach today. So, but here we are. Amen. So in a crowd, you can hit that. It's not a big deal. You can like shooting a shotgun. You're going to hit somebody with something. Here we are given a partial list in this passage of Scripture. But I'm sure there were other physical conditions that were needing healing among the crowd than just what was listed in the passage of Scripture in this word this morning. But this is the thing. Healing has been a need of every person since the fall of mankind in the garden. Healing is something that we've needed ever since Adam and Eve fell like they did unto Satan that day. Disease came in at that moment into the human race, and from that moment on, we have had to fight diseases and sicknesses that come into our bodies, and it's just the way life is. Some will say, well, we blame God. No, we can't blame God for diseases. This is because of the fall of mankind that sin came in and also diseases have come in. So it's something that's common. If you're sick, listen, it's not something that you have all to yourself. It's out there, and that's the world we live in today. And we find here, it's no different in the scene that we're looking at. They're around this pool, and there's many people with many different sicknesses, and some of them don't have the same sickness, but they are sick physically. They need healing in their body. And that's the way we see today. We still have it. We still fight it. The doctors are still making money off of it. The hospitals are staying open because of it. It's just the way life is. People are sick, physically needing a touch in their bodies. Another thing that you can find in the crowd is, and I'm sure this is the same way, is that there are those that are emotionally sick. They've got some things going on inside of their mind, whatever's taking place in their life, and they're struggling. With any multitude of people, I can tell you, you will find them that are struggling emotionally among us. And sometimes it can even be the preacher that's up here preaching, having some issues emotionally in our lives. We're not any of us exempt from having emotional things happening and going on in our life. My friend, as long as we live in this world, we're going to have to deal with things in our mind. Have you figured that out yet? And sometimes things come to us that make it a little more difficult to deal with those things. One person said, hey, they would be great if they just lived on an island by themselves. But I'll guarantee you, you'd get upset at some bird or something would come along and you would be emotionally distressed because it kept stealing your food or whatever. Life just deals emotional stress to us. And I'm sure in a group of people like this around that pool, there were those that were struggling emotionally in their life and they needed healing in their life also. Because emotions is something that we all deal with. I'm sure you could have found unforgiveness in that group. Unforgiveness is an emotion that can tear you up. It can destroy you. I'm sure there are those that had problems due to depression. Depression that was coming. Why? Because of things that were going on in their life and they were battling depression. Let me tell you, if you're battling depression this morning, that's okay. But I got an answer for you later today. Amen. Because depression is something that you don't battle that by yourself because many people go through times of depression. I can remember when I was 25 years old, I was such a depressed state. I did not want to live. I didn't like life. I hated life. And every time I'd put something in the microwave, I know this sounds stupid, but I thought I was over the hill and finished at 25. Now I look back and I think, wow, I was so young. Every time I'd put something in the microwave and watch 2 minutes go off of it, I think I just got 2 minutes older. I mean, I was literally messed up emotionally and at the age of 25. I was in such a state. Some may struggle with being bitter. Can I tell you, it's easy to be bitter in life. You can get bitter over things. And most of the times we get bitter is when things don't go our way or something happens to us that shouldn't have happened. And it's easy to take that stuff and tuck in and it starts to become an emotion in us and we have struggle. And we are struggling emotionally. Sometimes we struggle with anxiousness or anxiety in our life. I'm going to tell you, anxiety is real. And if you struggle with anxiety, I understand that you're struggling with a real thing that comes into your life. And I understand what it's like because I had some of that in my life also. Anxiety is something that really happens to people. And when it hits them, it's a very scary moment in their life. I'm saying today that there was emotional problems and there was things among that crowd. In this crowd today, there are different emotional things that are happening. Loneliness. Loneliness is an emotion. And to be hurt is another emotion because somebody has hurt you in your life. Have you figured out yet some people don't really care what they do to you? That's the world we live in. They don't care what it does to your mind. They don't care what it does to your finances. They don't care what it does as long as they get their way. Can I tell you today that we are living in a selfish world, and a selfish world cares not what they do to somebody else. And we hurt. We hurt. We deal with hurts. Sometimes we're damaged good because what people did to us when we were young. And there are those that are in that crowd. Maybe some that are fearful. Fear is a real, real emotion. Being scared of something, being fearful that this is going to happen. You know, I can think back in many years past when I was airing a tire up and I've got the wrong tire on the wrong size of the rim. The guy brought me 3, and I've told you this, but when I got that thing up to 90 pounds, I'd already took the safety ring off, and when it got to 90, that bead started to pop off, and when it popped that whole tire off. Went up through my stomach, up through my face, and through the ceiling of the building. I couldn't feel my face. I thought my nose was gone. All this, my brother Bobby had to tell me, no, it's still there. But it literally knocked me from here to that wall. And I was thinking the other day, we have a garage that backs up in the alley, and every time I'm backing up, I have this feeling that something's about to happen to me because I can't tell what's in the alley, something looking. And I thought, you know, it had to come from that moment way back there when I was 18 years old, and I'm thinking, I still feel those things. Listen, fear is a real thing. It doesn't control my life, but fear is an emotion that can control you. It can keep you from doing what God wants you to do when you hear God tell you to do something and you don't want to do it because you're fearful of what will happen. You know, the list can go on, and I can preach literally another 45 minutes on emotions, but it can go on and on. But being emotionally sick can literally have an effect even on your physical body. Being emotionally sick can have an effect on your physical body. Did you know a lot of heart diseases and stress comes from emotions in our lives? Breast cancer, many times, it is an emotion in our lives. I'm not saying every time. I'm saying it has a stress and it changes the chemicals in our body and it causes us to get physically sick. Do you know you can be so fearful that you can actually be physically sick? So it has an effect on all of us. All these emotions that go through. But you know, also in this crowd, there are those that are spiritually sick. Those that need to get right spiritually. In verse 14, Jesus went to that same man that he said, pick up the bed and walk. And he told him to what? Sin no more. And a lot of times we don't catch that. Jesus forgave him of his sin, and he says, go and sin no more unless something greater or something worse, I'll get it right, I was doing the Snyder translation, lest the worse things come upon you. Sometimes we're sick because a spiritual thing going on in our life, spiritual sickness. With any multitude of people, you can find those that are struggling in sin. We may not see it, it may not be evident, but there are those that could be struggling with sin even in this house this morning. Sin. Hebrews 12:1 says this, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Come on, I've lived long enough that knowing that there are those sins that can be in our lives that we really want to get rid of, and we do. We go to the altar, we ask God to forgive us, and the next thing you know, we're right back in it. Come on, there's a lot of men that struggle with pornography and different things. They don't want to, but yet it's something that's pulling on them. They're struggling in those areas. Maybe we have an area of, have you ever struggled? I know this one's a tough one, but have you ever struggled with the sin of gossip? Come on, you made your mind up when so-and-so calls, you're not going to say a word about nobody. And they lure you right in, and before you know it, you're like, into the conversation. And there you are, having that again, and you get through and say, oh, God, forgive me for what I said. See, sometimes we are spiritually sick, and we need healing. Every human being was born spiritually sick. The Bible says we've all sinned and came short of the glory of God. But even after we are saved, we still have some problems in our lives. I miss Sister Nadine because she was the only one that would raise her hand when I say, who's perfect in the house? But all of us may struggle in sin, spiritually sick. So from verse 3, we find about the story, all these that were laying around. If you can get a picture around laying there, there were people that were physically sick and emotionally sick and spiritually sick laying around this pool. And the angel of God would come down and stir the pool up every now and then. And the Bible says whoever got in there first would be healed. I wish we had one of those around, amen? Wouldn't that be great? What if we had one at St. Jacinto? I guarantee you would be packed. If we had a pool in such a way, and they'd stir it up, and whoever got in there would be made well. First one in. But the only thing in our story, though, the guy that we're talking about, he was not able to make it because he had an infirmity. He was not able to move or get up and walk. He was having a difficult time getting to the pool, and he couldn't get there as being first. I would think you could almost get over to the edge and roll over, but even at that, he couldn't get in the water first. And then I've often thought, what about the other people? As Megan prayed this morning, why wouldn't someone help him to be in? Hey, everybody back off. Let's get this man in here. But yet we see again the selfishness of human man. Hey, he's been laying here 10 years. I think he needs to get in. But we know he's been laying there for a long time. See, there was no apparent cure for him. When he looked hopeless. Because he couldn't get into the water when the water started to stir. There was not an apparent healing for him or for the healing to take place in his life. He had literally no hope to walk. He had literally no hope to be made whole. But we read in verse 6, listen, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Man, what a question from the Lord. Amen? See, I think another thing that I thought about when I was preparing this is we need to understand that Jesus knows our condition or our sickness. He knows our condition or our sickness. My word, isn't it great to know that He knows our condition? You know, the all-knowing God is aware of our condition and the things that are going on in our life. He knows the situation. He knows what the emotional stress is. He knows what the physical need is. And He knows what the spiritual need is. This is our Lord. This is Jesus. He knew everything about the man's condition. He knew how long this man had been that way. He knew the countless times he had been missed being first in the pool. He knew the disappointment he had every time he didn't get an answer. He knew the loneliness and helplessness that he was struggling with. He knew everything that was going on inside this man because he knew the condition of the man. He knew physically, his physically sickness, his emotional sickness, and his spiritual sickness. He knew it all about that man. He knew his condition. Oftentimes we think that we can hide from God, or God does not see what's going on in our life. And oftentimes we think that we're going through this journey by ourselves. But can I tell you this morning, God knows your condition. Oh man, I'm almost ready to shout over that. Because when I start thinking, because the devil will tell us, he says, oh, you're on this journey by yourself. There's no hope for you. There's nothing nobody can do. And this is what that man was feeling. And sometimes we get to thinking that's what life is. But I got news for you this morning. I got joy for you this morning. It's because Jesus knows right where you're at. He knows what you're battling. He knows what you're going through. He's on your side, my friend, today. Oh, by word, God is there for you. He sees. Can I tell you this? And He is the righteous judge. Amen? He's the righteous judge. He sees the condition. See, you may think God has forgotten you, but He has not. Let me say that again. You may think God has forgotten you, but He has not. He knows your condition. And it may be physical, it may be emotional, it may be spiritual. It could be all three, like this man that we're talking about this morning. And I got news for you. What you're facing is within the perimeter of His healing power. What you got going on in your life this morning is within the perimeter of His healing touch. It's not outside. You know, I read one time that all things are possible with God. Amen? All things are possible with God. And you may think things are just totally no way that the enemy's got inside your head. But can I say again this morning, what you have, what you're going through, is within the perimeter of the touch of Jesus Christ. And He's able to touch. And He's able to work. He's able to move. He's able to move a mountain that has not been able to move. And He's able to do that. That's who our God is. Jeremiah 32:17 says, oh, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Listen to this. There's nothing too hard for You. Come on. Nothing too hard for You. Who? Our God. Nothing too difficult for Him is what the song says. We sang that song last Wednesday night in Bible study. But there's nothing too difficult for Him. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if we had somebody Pentecostal, they ought to be up dancing and just shouting this morning, because there's nothing too difficult for our God. Whatever you're going through, there's nothing too difficult for our God. Amen. He is able to take care of you. He is able. Listen, knowing His condition prompted Jesus to ask the question. He looked at this man. He seen he was physically, emotionally, and spiritually sick. And He said this question to him, asked him, says, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? The word well means healthy. It's not just talking physical health. It means emotional, spiritual. It means well. I mean, when you are well with God, you are well with God. You are healthy. It means to be healthy in all three, all triune parts of you. The mind, the spirit, and the body. Healthy. Have you ever seen anybody that's just healthy? Man, they just enjoy life and they're physically fit. And you're not looking at one up here this morning. I got ways to go. But they just, it seems like they've got it going on. They enjoy life. They're just happy. God asked this man, do you want to be well? Now, folks, can I just say something this morning? We serve a God that is supernatural. And the Word of God says we are people of faith, that we live by faith. What do we live by faith in? What God's Word says. And miracles don't happen unless we have the faith that we need in order to see things take place. He says, do you want to be made well? What would you say to that question this morning? What would you say? If Jesus was here in the room this morning and says, do you want to be made well? Would you say, no, God, I'm good. I love what's going on with me. Or would you say, yes, I do. Do you want to be made well? Would you say yes? See, the sick man answered Jesus with an excuse. You find it in verse 7. He replied back with and Jesus listened to excuses. His excuse was this: but Lord, I have nobody to put me in the pool. Now get this just for a moment. The only ideal and the only way he knew that anybody could get well if they got in the pool. When Jesus asked him, do you want to be well? All he could think of is what was apparent. What was apparent, the first one in the pool got well. And he says, I don't have anybody to make me or to get me in the pool. So what, he was relying on just one source and one source only. And that was an impossibility for him because nobody was able to get him in the pool. Maybe he wanted Jesus to put him in the pool. But the Lord says, hey, he didn't even listen to what he was apparent, but he gave him something else to believe in, gave him another avenue, another resource. He told the man, he answered his excuse with a question, or with instructions. He says, pick up your bed, rise up, pick up your bed and walk. Jesus didn't tell him to walk to the pool. He just threw him a whole different formula than what was apparent to him. And the man immediately had to go by faith in order to believe, in order to have the miracle in his life. He had to have trust in God. Jesus told him to rise up. Take up your bed and walk. Can I tell you this morning, another thing that came to me, instructions are given in order for wellness to come. I was listening to that. Jesus gave instructions to this man in order for the wellness to come. This is not a new approach for God. It's not a new approach for the Lord. Elijah told Naaman to go down into the Jordan River and dip 7 times into the Jordan River. And Naaman didn't like it because that river was nasty. But I'm going to tell you, he went down and done it. The man of God, Elijah told him. God told Job's loyal friends to go and let Job pray for him. I mean, these are instructions. If Job's friends wouldn't have went, then they would have been cursed. God gives instructions in order for us to have the healing and the wellness that we need many times. Jesus told the blind man to go wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. He told the leopards to go and show themselves before the priest. He told us in the book of James, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will make them well. He told the sinners through Peter when they said, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent. Sometimes when we're seeking something from God, we need to listen to the instructions that are being spoken out by God into our lives. Because the instructions Jesus gave, the man there at this pool was told him to rise up, take your bed, and walk. He had instructions given to him at that very moment, my friend. Oh, I'm saying today, instructions are important when they come from up there and from God the Father on how we are to take care of things. In situations, we need to listen to what God is saying. Because there is where the wellness comes up. What is God telling you today? What's he speaking to you this morning in this place? What has God already told you about the situation? Or I've already told you in the past. I can remember my own life many years back, and 06 where God spoke into my life through an evangelist, Brother Bosman, and spoke to me that day, and he gave me specific instructions. He told me that I got to do this in order to have that. And I found myself over the years, I found myself wrestling with the very thing he told me about. And you know what God's brought me back to? He's brought me back to that night every time. And he said, did I not tell you, you've got to do this in order to have that? And see, we can have things that have been spoken into our past, things that God has given us instructions to, and not take care of them. I'm telling you, God still has that same word for you today. You need to understand that if he gave you instructions there, we still need to follow those instructions today that God speaks into our life. He gave them those instructions. What are you hearing right now from God about your situation? Because I'm going to tell you, wellness comes in light of obedience to his instructions. Wellness comes in light of obedience to his instructions. Have you struggled emotionally before? And God told you, you need to go tell that person you're sorry? Have you struggled in other areas where God said, hey, you need to go do this and do that, but yet what he was asking was too much? Do you realize that he's looking out for you? And that if we would have took that moment and went over there, we would have got things resolved, an issue. You know, God gives us instructions all the time, and it's in the obedience of those instructions. You know, it doesn't matter. I've seen situations where, you know, the Bible says if anybody's offended you, or you go to that person and tell them, and you expect everything. Sometimes we expect everything to be good. But can I tell you, I've been there and I've asked, I said, you've offended me. I had one guy says, well, you just need to get over it. And I'm glad my temper was sanctified. But can I tell you something? I did what God told me to do. The instructions. When I left there, I was much better. I'm just saying sometimes it's the instructions that God gives us that we need to obey them in order for wellness to come into our life. This man did not argue the point with the Lord. He says, God, I can't get up. Lord, you see, they carry me, they lay me down here, I can't get up. He didn't argue the point with what Jesus was telling him. He just got up and picked up his bed and walked. He could have had a very good case. He did everything that Christ instructed him. He didn't leave his bed behind for the city of Amarillo to come clean it up. He picked his bed up. He could have left it. I'm sure it was a mess. But he picked his bed up. He did everything that Christ had instructed him to do. His desire for healing overrode everything else, all doubts in his life, anything else that would hinder his healing. His desire to be made whole overrode those things, and he followed Jesus Christ. Pastor Oliver, you'll come. See, we must obey because God offers no other way. When God speaks to us, we need to listen. Because God wants to bring healing. The Lord didn't just walk by there by accident that day. Matter of fact, the Bible says the pool had sick people all around it, but he went right to that person. He picked him out of the crowd. I don't know why. I can't tell you. I can make something up. And then y'all would say, that's not in the scripture. And I'd say, that's right. That's just me. I can't tell you, but I know this much. God went to him because he knew his condition. Jesus went there. Had a conversation. And told him and gave him instructions. Says, get up. Rise up. Pick your bed up. And walk. Do you think the Lord knew he was going to get in trouble? Yes. You think the Lord knew that the Pharisees were going to say, what are you doing carrying that bed? Jesus could have said, hey, leave that bed there. But he said, pick the bed up. The Lord knew. The Lord knew he'd get in trouble. Then the Lord goes and finds him and says, hey, sin no more, or something worse will come upon you. That man had a complete healing that day. I believe today that we carry things in our life because sometimes we refuse to be obedient to what God's speaking to us in our lives. And you know, there's moments that are difficult, and God asks us to do things that are very difficult in our life sometimes. But if we want the healing, we need to be obedient. We need to listen and we need to obey what God would tell us. Because it's so important when it comes to that moment of getting things right. I don't know what God's been speaking to you. I don't know if he's told you to go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times to be made well. It's going to cost you some money to get over there. I don't know exactly what he's been saying to you. You know, sometimes I know that in my own physical condition, sometimes fighting just borderline diabetes, I've heard more than once that, Lord, you need to control your diet. I didn't just hear it from the Lord, but I've heard it from the doctor also. And then my daughter brings blueberry muffins to Sunday school. But you know, she didn't make me eat those. But I'm just saying, sometimes we hear things from the Lord, and sometimes the miracle's not there. I've shared with you, Brother Greaser said, you know, he was praying, God, heal me from blood pressure. And the Lord says, you need to lose some weight. And Brother Greaser said, I don't like that answer. I'm just saying, sometimes some of the things that we're going through, we already know what God spoke to us about in order to get the freedom and the healing that God would have us to have. We've heard him say things in our life, and I don't know what you've heard this morning, but I just want to remind you, this message does anything this morning other than to remind you what God has spoken in your life. Are you still struggling with your past? Are you still struggling? Think, hey, I'm unworthy for the kingdom of God. But God has told you multiple times that you have been forgiven, you've been set free, that you are usable. You need to listen to God this morning and quit struggling spiritually and let God use you in his work. It's the enemy that brings that lie in our heart. We need to hear what God says. Have you been touched to the altar and you know God, that God healed you one night? You need to go back to believing for the miracle that you got that night. Because God is that way. I just want to encourage you right now as we sing. I want to open the altars for a minute and just let you come down and be reminded of what God is speaking to you this morning. If you hear God speak to you, hey, I need to be anointed with oil, I'll be healed this morning, come right here and stand. We're going to pray. We'll believe God to touch. But the key thing here is listen and obey the Lord. Listen and obey the Lord. Every head bowed just for a second. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with sin. You know the sin. It's not a question of what you're doing. But you're saying, I want to get rid of that today. I got a word for you. You need to cut that thing off. The Lord says if your right hand makes you sin, cut it off. Not literally, but whatever you're doing, you need to get that out of your life. Whatever is luring you in, you need that out of your life today. If it's your friends, you need to get new friends. If it's people around you, if it's the media, if it's your phone, you need to do something to get safety checks on it. Whatever it takes, God says to take it out that way. Who would say this morning that I'm just struggling in sin in my life and I'm done. I want to hear the Lord in this and I want to be set free today. Would you just raise your hand this morning and say, that's me. I want to start living my life for God. Anybody? Today. Who would just raise their hand and say, God's been speaking to me about a certain thing in my life, and I'm ready to obey what God's been speaking. Would you raise your hand today? Amen. Amen. See, God does speak to us. I just want, in these last closing minutes, while Pastor Oliver sings, I want to encourage you to come down today. And I want you just to have a moment with the Lord at the altar. And may He just touch your life.